Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. We've taken a week off after the extremely sad 45-31 loss by the hand of the Washington Commanders team. The Lions historically just cannot be in the playoffs for whatever reason. I think it's 0-5 now all time in the playoffs. We're going to get into that game. We're also going to, you know, we've had the week off, so there's also been a lot of coaching changes. We'll get to that later in the episode after we talk about this game first. And, you know, we're going to get to all of it. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here on Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Red Dog.
Yo.
Bob.
Goddamn Lions.
And UJ.
Hello, Lions fans. But let's just think of that Radiohead song, Optimistic. Be optimistic.
All right.
Oh, man. I guess we haven't had enough time to lick our wounds just yet, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was by far the worst game of the season for the Lions, and they chose the worst time to have it. It's hard to say where to start. I guess my first start is the Lions, you know, a lot of injuries on defense, whatever. But they're up 7-3. They have the ball in the red zone. With a chance to go 14-3, they go empty. They take Gibbs out of the game. They put Montgomery. They line him up out wide, and then Graham Glasgow can't hold his guy, force fumble, and they turn around and make it a 10-7 game. And I don't know about you guys, but I thought 14-3. Like we saw the Eagles this past weekend, they went up 14-3. They actually took advantage of going up early. And it was never the same game after that for them. The Commanders are a team that, like, they like to methodically go down the field, hold the ball as long as they can, convert a lot of third and fourth downs. But when they're playing from behind by double digits early, they're forced to kind of push it more than they are comfortable with. And I don't know. To me, the game started slowly going downhill after that moment. I think that was the biggest moment in the game, personally, for me. I don't know how you guys felt.
I actually agree with you.
I'm with you.
I don't understand. What are you doing, Ben Johnson? What are you doing?
I'll tell you what.
I don't understand.
Are we going to get into that subject right now, or are we just going to talk about the game?
Might as well dive in.
I think this needs to be addressed.
I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is running for 8 yards a carry, and we go empty, and it's just I really don't understand it.
Okay,
understand.
There's a lot of theories on this. I'm going to start with one. And this is the Game of Thrones theory. Okay, remember Game of Thrones, greatest show. It was the greatest show on TV, man. Everyone, we'd have watch parties out. Then the last season comes along, and they just wanted to get it over with. Ben played that like this is the last season of Game of Thrones. I'm just going to throw stupid plays out there because I'm Ben Johnson, and I'm the greatest thing that ever lived. And then he does that play, which was a horrible call. And then later on in the game, we're down by 10, but we're coming back, and we're you know, the offense is starting to hum again. Now they're moving the ball down the field. And then they throw that lateral freaking thing to J-Mo to throw a pass down the field. Like, what the hell was that? I mean, his arrogance got the better of him in this game. I'm telling you, Ben Johnson blew it.
He blew it all right.
Bob, do you feel the same way?
Not quite. I didn't mind the J-Mo play. What I didn't like is the fact that J-Mo threw it into triple coverage when he should have just thrown the
he's
damn
not
thing
a quarterback.
Away.
You're
a supreme athlete.
He's,
just run it and see what happens.
Yeah, but I don't mind the trick plays because we've been living by that all season, and I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it didn't work, obviously. But
you're putting the ball in the hands of arguably the dumbest player on the team.
Yes.
about that.
I like the trick plays, but I also think trick plays – become significantly riskier in playoff football because you're playing against playoff teams and like just the discipline is up, everything's up. And like if you watch that J-Mo play, the guy who picked him off, the kid out of Michigan, the rookie, he never even flinched at a single fake in that four level deception. Like, they didn't bite on it at all. And so, but J-Mo actually could have ran probably for like 20 yards if he just went around then. But to me, like, it's the level, like, that it was, it's too much fluff and not enough substance to the play. And like, obviously they didn't drill it into J-Mo's head. Don't throw it into coverage. Like, to me, it was unnecessary complications. That's what it is. Both plays, unnecessary complications. When you're down there in the red zone and you got to get 1 or 2 yards and you got the best run game in the sport, you don't add risk where you give a chance at a pass rush in the red zone. Like, you don't need to. You, like, a pass rush is a more risky play. You give them a chance to make something happen. It's so much harder to make a running back fumble or something. It was adding risk factors unnecessarily. And that's what bit us in the ass on both of those plays significantly.
Yeah, I thought the empty set one was more egregious. But UJ,
it was the worst one. I thought,
where you were going with that, I thought you were going to talk about how Ben Johnson had his interview with the Bears and he was thinking about that instead of coaching the damn game.
Well, right, that's what
I thought. It was kind of what I was inferring to.
I actually don't think he called that bad of a game overall, besides those two plays, obviously, that stick out. I mean, we still scored 31 points in this game. And that is despite Jared Goff having not his best game by far.
No.
Made two boneheaded throws in this game that cost him dearly.
The refs didn't help, but he got blown up in his face there. And
they didn't. On it. But we scored on the one possession he wasn't even out there for.
That should have been a penalty.
The pick six, though. Actually kind of like shows how we fell right into the game plan we were trying to get them to, because he got like I was really thinking about this, what was it, did he feel a tad bit of desperation, like he needed to make something happen? Was there a little bit of extra pressure that he was feeling beyond, like he needed to pick up the slack for the offense, for the defense? Like, I don't know, it spoke something to like a mindset that like our offense just wasn't in the right gear that day. They felt they didn't have that patience that we've watched them have all year. If he checks that down to LaPorta, that's a huge
wide
chunk
open.
And maybe an easy
right
first
in
down
front of him.
And it's just so uncharacteristic
he wasn't
of
even
him
under pressure.
And I just think there was something that's why I almost feel like it goes back to Ben. I just don't know if Ben's head where it was at in that game, honestly. He did call some good plays. But, like, tell me this. Gibbs had how many touches for how many yards? He was eating them alive at will. They couldn't stop him for their life. All our inside, like, angle plays, the fast-hitting stuff, was dominating. And then we do these long-developing plays. They get stuffed. It's like he never went back to the effective stuff and let us just lose the game. And Gibbs could have just won that game by himself the way he was playing. He
14
should have
carries,
had way more touches.
105 yards, 2 touchdowns, that's 7.5 a carry.
Ridiculous.
Carries. Pretty good.
They couldn't stop the man, and they didn't give him – they stopped feeding him.
I think it's funny. Idiot. It's like when somebody leaves your job, they get blamed for all the shit. You know, for the next month.
Well, then we're going to pile on right now. We're going to pile on because I'll tell you
sure.
what.
He deserves it.
He's a traitor, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, he is.
He stabbed
Benedict Johnson.
He stabbed Campbell in the back. He's like Gollum, you know? Like, and you know what? You just look at you. Hey, and you look at him now like Ben Johnson. Every time we see him, he's very stoic. He doesn't say much in the background. He just looks like a genius. Everyone's like, oh, this guy's a genius because he's just so geniusy. Like, and then
did he have
then,
like?
But
a...
now he talks. But now he gets he goes in front of the press and he's got and his face looks more gaunt and goofier and he's kind of like
he's still trying to figure out his left from his right. UJ, I don't know if you saw that.
He looks
so. Asked him a question. They said he's on his right. He picked up his hands and looked like left. Right.
No,
he can't. He can't talk in public really well. He was really admired when he didn't talk. But now he's got to talk.
Yep.
He's got to get up in front of the cameras all the time and think he's going to be Dan Campbell. It ain't happening.
He ain't no Dan Campbell, that's for damn sure.
It's the fact that he went to the Bears because Aaron Glenn's not getting all the blowback that Ben Johnson is.
That's part of it. I'm not going to lie.
On that third and one, shouldn't Dan Campbell have some say, like we're running it here, F whatever play call you're calling here? I feel like Dan Campbell has more say than
he has final say in
that. So I think there's some blame to him, too, on that type of play call that I don't think has been fairly put out there.
Dan definitely gets his blame for all of it. Like, he had his issue. Like, I mean, there were, like, the timeout at the end. But he his team, you know, didn't show up the way he, you know, promised they would, and you know, they lost in a pretty embarrassing way.
And it basically, I think, as bad as the defense plays, they had some key stops that could have helped. And they turnovers. That was the big thing, was turnovers killed us.
That's why
turnovers. We had four or five or whatever.
Yeah. Glenn gets the benefit of the injury doubt, like especially Amik going out so early in the game. Oh. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah. That was a killer.
Oh, God. Yeah. I think that really took the wind out of our sails or a lot on defense. But, like, nonetheless,
Jack Campbell hit you in the arm.
I think you would say, you look at that game and you'd say, yeah, right. You look at that game and you say, you know, they played, I would say, just about the game we needed them to play to win that game on defense, expecting our offense to play the game we normally play, which we did not. And if, like, our offense showed up like we normally do, I think it's clear we win that game. Like, the turnovers were just bad. The play calling wasn't great. It was just an off day on offense. So, but, like, and honestly,
I think,
like,
you're giving too much credit to our defense. I thought they were awful. I thought if any coordinator was affected by the interviews going on, it was Aaron Glenn more so. His
really, you saw obvious
adjustments. Go back and watch his game plan. There are linebackers going against two offensive linemen at the second level, like just completely misaligned routinely. They're getting 5 yards of carry, easy throws over the middle. The only time they buckled down was in the red zone. I just kind of wish, like, Washington would get a 50-yard gain and just get to the red zone.
I kind of disagree on that.
I think it was an awful coordinated game on the defensive side of the ball by Aaron Glenn. His worst game of the year.
I'm gonna kind of disagree with you on that too, Z. The injuries just
might be
finally.
Right.
I know we have injuries. I know, and there obviously
it's
some to blame,
especially
with the pass rush.
That Amik,
at the same time,
when Amik went down, that
coverage
was like a foreboding of what was coming the rest of this game. And then we're playing guys who've been on the practice squad all year in that game in a playoff game. I mean,
it wasn't
terrible.
A great game defensively.
I'm
not sure what obvious adjustments he had to make.
Routinely out of position in this game. They did not look well prepared. Is what I'm getting at.
I mean, it
and
didn't
misaligned
look like
continuously.
That's for sure.
Well,
now I know we had a guy out there, especially when we go down. He was playing his first snaps of the year. I understand all that. But I thought Jack Campbell played his worst game of the year out there. He looked lost at times out on the field. So
I won't argue with you. I think you're right, Z. I think he does deserve some blame. I just think he gets the benefit of the injury thing. Like, maybe he could have had a better game plan. He gets that little extra, like, half his team was gone. But, like, it wasn't a great game. I don't think either unit showed up with great strategy or great production or great, like, focus, honestly.
So,
it just seemed off.
So with the direction of this conversation, do you think those interviews before the playoff games make a difference then? It sounds like you do.
Can. And there's a chance they did.
I theoretically, I don't. Like, I mean, they should have a chance. You know, they might miss out on jobs that way.
I understand why they do. I definitely understand.
But
I don't.
But I still think, even if, I mean, I think Ben Johnson, whatever you think of him now, I think he was trying to win the game.
I would agree.
He really wanted to get the Super Bowl with the Lions. That was like a big goal of his. It might have distracted him, though, subconsciously. I don't think he was sloughing off or anything. But
how could it not distract you at least even a little bit? You're coaching for, like,
it's got to.
Or you're interviewing for, like, your dream job in a lot of ways.
Belichick, I
hate the way the NFL kind of does that, especially now that we are part of a team that has coaches that are desired by other teams.
Well, it's frustrating when it almost looks like it directly like lent itself to kind of our loss. Like, it looks like a contributing factor. But, like, to me, that's just like penalties. That's just like the press. That's just like everything. And, like, in a campaign, you know, you got to deal with everything thrown at you. And that's just part of the, like, sort of the meta of the season, is that your coaches are going to be kind of under poaching threat while you're going up on a Super Bowl run. So that's just, everyone has to put up with it. So, you know, if it's not an excuse that we can, you know, really turn to, to me, it's just, that's Dan Campbell, I guarantee you, though, we'll take something from all of this, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's something along the. I would, like, can't the teams refuse the coaches to interview during that time or something like that? It just seems idiocy, like, to just distract them in the most important time of the season.
I don't think if it's for a promotion, I don't think they can. can refuse it.
An interview during the season? That's so weird.
Yeah, for the head coaching, I think it's like
it can't be a same job or less. It's got to be a better.
Well, that's for like a hire away. I didn't know that was for the interview itself during the season. I thought they might have a right to refuse it.
Well, it can only be the Zoom interviews. But yeah,
you know. But anyways, I agree with you, Bob. Though mostly this game came down to turning the ball over. You just can't turn the ball over four times and expect to win the game, especially in the playoffs. It wasn't this game only. It happened in the other games as well. I mean, look at the Ravens. They were probably the better team over the Bills, but they turned it over two or three times in that game.
My prediction is still coming true.
Washington the next week turned it over five times against the Eagles in the NFC Championship, so they had it come right back to them.
Was there anyone else glad they lost?
No, I just said my prediction is still standing. Lamar Jackson will never win the Super Bowl.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
At this rate. Although
I saw somebody say today that Taylor Swift's been to more Super Bowls than Lamar Jackson. Even her second one.
Let me
go back again real quick. My thoughts on the end of the season. I mean, like, it's so frustrating. I mean, Campbell's got to be kicking himself. I mean, he's not blaming the coordinators, everything. Because how are those guys not prepared? Like, all year they've been talking about, after the NFC Championship, San Francisco, they're like, that thing's eating at us. That's eating at us. It's driving them all year. I wonder if the way that Minnesota game, they came out like all guns blazing, if they like peaked too soon, you know, like in that game. Well,
do you think the bye week affected them? They had all this momentum. Yeah, and then maybe. They cooled down for a week.
I think it did. Bob, you got a point there with that Minnesota game. They seem to play that up like that was the biggest game they ever won. Bigger than the playoff games last year, it seemed like, the way they were outing it.
It's funny that you bring that up, Bob, because the Vikings did that when they beat the Packers like the week before, and then they lost to us. So like, there's something weird about over celebrating there. Maybe honestly, I think this season was like a little bit held together by duct tape in some ways, and this team kind of had like an emotion. I think Dan maybe tapped into emotions a little more than he wanted to because they had to. And the thing about emotions is you get highs and lows, and I think it caused them, like you're saying, Bob, to kind of hit a high, and then they fell into a little bit of a low at the worst time possible.
I think you're right, though, that he probably had to do that a little bit. Because think about this team, the way it was built by Brad Holmes. Mm-hmm. They had the best roster in the NFL by far. Like, if they were healthy or close to healthy, I think they're rolling the Super Bowl. Like, unchecked. The fact that they got to 15 wins was pretty amazing. Yeah. And then that makes you... They got out these stupid towels. We want more. They should have put it as you're going out of the stadium. Yeah, we want more. The hell?
I mean, that's why in some ways last year was their better chance because they were way healthier going. I mean, Khalif Raymond was the only notable guy that really was out.
We kind of did things backwards this year. Like, we did things a little backwards. It was like we got wild card and then got to the conference round, and now we get the one seed and get bowed out at the division round. And I don't know. To me, as soon as we lost this game, I thought we just had another. There was another lesson to be learned. We weren't there yet, and you know, maybe it was to do with the injuries, whatever. Like, Dan's going to take away, I think, the crucial lessons to feed the team next year and get things on the right track. And because it's just refinement now, like the talent's there, the team's there. Like, you just need to get it. Like, if the talent, like you said, Bob, the talent was like, if that defense is healthy, there's nobody in the, like, because the defense is like all in the throughout the playoffs struggle. I feel like nowadays, like, our defense would have really been a difference, Dan, with Hutch and Barnes.
Well, yeah,
and
look at it this way too. The
Carlton and
his team was the top dog all year, and you know, playing top dog is really hard. You're getting the best shot from every game. And so I call this the hardening. This is chapter four of Dan Campbell's thing. Next year, you're going to see a much harder team, like less emotional, more just hard, gritty. Like, it's going to be so much tougher next year.
I wanted to see in this game, like, instead of Jared Goff having to throw the ball 40 times, why isn't Gibbs running the ball 30 times?
Amen. Ben.
like
it's like when Khaleesi forgot about the damn like fleet of ships that had just like destroyed half her army in the episode before, and that's a dragon get killed. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I thought Monty in this game looked like, still like a
Game
half
of Thrones
step
reference.
Slow,
CJ, come on,
coming off his injury. Yeah, he got 7 touches in this game. I thought he should have had like 3.
As exciting as it was to have him back, they probably would have been better without him. You know,
I mean, Gibbs clearly is the better looking back in this game. I thought they gave him a little too much touches. I mean, it was only 7 carries, but still, I mean,
but they tried to
40
like
more
it was like Gibbs earlier in the season, and they started the game with him in the right away, which they shouldn't have done either. They should have Gibbs starting the game.
I agree.
And then Gibbs kind of filter him in for a few plays, fine, do it. But Gibbs should have been starting that game.
Actually, though, the Monty carries, I'd rather cut into the Goff passes than the Monty carries. I don't have a problem with him getting 7 touches. Like, that was not the problem in that game. It was the lack of feeding Gibbs, and that wasn't because they overfed Monty. Like, it was we were passing way too damn much. But hell, like get J-Mo more involved or something too. Like,
throw
I mean,
some
I don't
more
know,
passes.
Like,
J-Mo's reverse touchdown was so dirty, though. That,
so
that was slick. Video game. That was a video
Oh, yeah, that was
game.
Sweet. That was
oh, my God. It's so amazing.
Unreal.
Like, just do that every play. Like,
and then,
hell, like, I
mean, J-Mo outrun, again, I mean, we've seen this multiple times here. He outran double coverage, and Derek Goff just missed him long.
Yeah.
I think that was early in the
And then he drops a
quarter.
Dime on St. Brown, like, the next play, though, for, like, 45 yards.
He did.
That was the thing. Jared Goff did not have his best game, obviously, but he also did make some actually terrific plays in that game. It was not his worst all-around game I've seen him play. Like, that play to Laporta, which was a great catch by Laporta,
way
Goff stayed alive in the pocket to deliver that was top-notch. Like honestly, the interception was a mental, like, fart. Like, it wasn't because he could also make that throw if he didn't kind of get a little bumped as he was throwing. But, like, he should have just done the check down. He knows better. Like, the thing is, he was a little off his game, but he also played some pretty terrific football at times, too.
I don't understand that throw. When you see it, I still don't understand it.
What do you guys think about
– and the end of the first half, too, just an awful, awful pass.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it away. You're in field goal range. That's a rookie mistake.
The pass was there, or the play was there. He just threw it to the wrong spot.
What do you guys think about our line maybe got a little – our O-line got a little beaten up over the year? Because I don't think Goff had the pocket that they had on Washington had. You know,
Glasgow's degraded consistently this year towards the end.
Yeah, and they just—I don't know. Those
not
guys,
a great game from him.
No, I kind of agree with you.
Mahogany graded out the highest though for some optimism.
No, that's good because he's going to be a starter in the future, probably.
He's the highest graded offensive player on our team to end the season. Granted, it was 5-game sample size, but he ended on PFF. He ended with like a 94.
No,
that's
but
exciting.
He's been the plan. I think he's going to start next year, and we're going to lose one of those other guys.
He's just surpassing guys like. I think you keep Glasgow on his contract and let him fight. I don't think he wins the job though. But he's a great backup utility piece. Maybe use him as a swing
guy. Zeitler will probably be gone, right?
I don't know.
There's talks about Holmes and Zeitler, like Zeitler coming back.
I didn't see that.
Brad Holmes mentioned his press conference.
Playing at a very high level despite his age.
You play Mahogany left side and him right side next year.
I could see that.
I mean, Glasgow's out of bed even as like a depth piece.
Keep him around as a veteran backup.
He can play different parts of the offense.
Center.
Line.
Yep.
I like keeping him, but next year will be a big year for Sorsdahl and all those guys. The guys who need to develop Manu. I've heard good things about him though. He's allegedly just
I feel like he's still another year away. But I mean, maybe try him at guard. No.
Well, that's perfect because, I think Decker. We got one more good year of Decker. He showed some cracks.
I think
this
so
year.
Too. He's fading a little bit, but he's still playing at a very high level. But he's not. He used to be unstoppable, pretty much. So.
This is his first Pro Bowl this year, and he was the third alternate. It's kind of weird, but all the years he's played here, and he's played some good years. His first time in the Pro Bowl. I'm kind of surprised.
I think he was hidden on a bad team. You know, people didn't know about him.
Who was our guy in the back?
Jeff Backus.
And they put good guys next to him. All of a sudden, he looked like a great player. Weird.
Yeah. Rob Sims, baby. Turned his career around.
Really weird how that worked.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that, because like that's the thing too. It's like, okay, blame Ben for the empty backfield, but then, you know, you also got to blame Glasgow for getting smoked. Like, like it was a 3-step drop. It like it wasn't a long drop. He got absolutely torched right to his B gap, and then it was like, just to like kind of speak to how weird, because like this is the thing. It's easy to start pointing fingers, but there's like an energy. There's a ethereal element here. Like you get that little slippage by St. Brown on the route that causes Goff to like hesitate for the slightest bit before St. Brown makes his break. And now he's getting sack fumbled. Like little tiny things all around were just breaking against us. And that's just kind of like, I don't know. Those are those kind of things that happen when things are off that day. You know, like it's a culmination of a tons of little things, and then a few big things.
I'll tell you one big thing. Ben is a rat.
Ben, the two Benedict of us Arnold. Need look no more.
I thought Ben Johnson. I just thought he was
Osama Ben Johnson.
We were looking for.
Did they even know the reference?
Nope. I certainly don't.
There's a movie called Ben about a rat.
I wish I could try to.
And that's a song by Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow. I'm really sorry that
I
exists
got
now.
A friend like Ben. Hey, Ben.
That's special.
That was Michael, should have that was a Michael Jackson song?
I would try to sound like him.
So pitch perfect.
Exactly. That was good. Like yeah, maybe we could get our producer to put a little Ben video out with
yeah.
the lowlights.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's a rat as he goes to the
that
Bears.
Be
he is yeah, a rat. He's
scurrying a little rat hole that's honestly, like in Chicago.
I mean, I'll save it for later, but like the Ben Johnson move to Bears.
Like 2 seconds after the game was over, too. It was brutal.
Rat.
Season's over. Ben to the Bears.
Ben Johnson go to the Bears. I thought he was smarter than that to go to an organization that's right? functional.
They like, paid him $13 million.
Oh, that helps.
Still, but like he could have gone to a
if
place that had
my
like
wallet brick. Would that help ease the pain?
Rat.
I'm curious. Did he negotiate for any like assurances? Because as far as I know, Poles didn't even want him, and the ownership I heard like overruled him. So now you got a GM that supposedly doesn't want the guy.
I don't think that's what happened. I think
maybe
they
not.
Wanted
he wanted it
because they overpaid to make sure they got him too, because I think the Raiders probably floated that whole well, Raiders thing.
But that's—I mean, I'm not saying the Bears didn't want him. I'm saying Poles didn't want him, the GM.
No. But the fact that they paid him $13 million, I think the organization's behind them.
The organization is, but that's the problem. Like they'll be behind him now, and then when he's like halfway through a losing season, they'll fire his ass because they don't give anyone a chance, and then the next guy will get a quarterback he didn't draft.
It's gonna
like,
be they, sad. They,
Michael there.
It's going to be sad but fun to watch the demise of Ben Johnson.
You better capitalize quick on the talent they have because the Bears don't have patience for failure. They don't let their guys grow and learn. They don't have long-term vision at all. I'm sorry. Like,
Bears fans definitely don't. That's
that just shows short-sightedness by Ben. Like he set himself up. Like, look, if you look at this as like some great challenge to turn around this turd sinking ship of an organization – and it's like just like he's doing it because he knows it's going to be so ridiculously hard. Like respect. But if he thinks like he's going to go because like the Bears are like some upstanding organization and like he's in for a rude awakening. I think.
No, the thing that you got to know about him too that came out in this process is he's a Cubs fan. So,
yes.
You know.
Oh my God.
No. That's pretty makes him really unlikable.
He's been hiding in our ranks this whole time. That's
they gave him extra cheese. He's a rat.
Cubs,
the end
man,
of the departed weird. Little rat goes by.
Yeah. They're going to have a little on his microphone on game day. They're going to have like a little piece of cheese on the end there. He's going to nibble on it. Like he's calling plays. He's a rat.
He will set out a trap for him at Ford Field when he comes there.
Yeah.
Big rat trap.
You'll know Ben's in good shape or bad shape if they don't draft offensive line next year.
Oh, wow. That was a great visual, man.
Anything else from this game?
The game.
You guys are pissing Z off.
Amon-Ra looked good, as he always does.
He had a good game.
He did.
I didn't understand what our DBs were doing on the Terry McLaurin touchdown screen.
Getting blocked. Well, we blitzed.
I mean, just awful, awful tackling. Beyond belief.
Tackling. They didn't get a chance to tackle. They got blocked.
Well, They still had a chance to tackle him. Iffy and I think it was Norris. I gotta go back.
There wasn't much of an opportunity there. I'll tell you what, though. That play right there is why Meek would have made a difference, because he would have shot into the backfield and took him down. Like, instead, fucking Vildor just gets hemmed up.
Vildor,
those guys, whoever were on that defense, both cornerbacks to that side were blocked. It was a really good blocking, and you had Branch blitzing, so it was an odd man, and all McLaurin had to do was sprint past him. I mean, it was a good play call too. It was a read off our blitz too. They were ready for it. That's a net knock on Glenn right there. Right?
It's just so infuriating that like the Commanders go out and play the Eagles and then just get their ass kicked.
No, to me that's it is kind
it's
of
just so frustrating.
I'm glad they lost.
Yeah.
I thought like the thing that annoyed me the most in a weird way was just how on the Commanders everyone was when it was just so obvious the Lions played like shit. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, you got to give them their props, but they were acting like this team was like some like juggernaut all of a sudden. We played a shit game, and sure, their hot rookie quarterback played well against our defense that played terrible. Good job. You know, like, and then, you get your flowers, but like act like it was like the second coming of Jesus or something. Like, it was brutal. I just couldn't stand the talk afterward.
Did you guys hear the St. Brown Brothers podcast? He was talking about how they could hear the Commander celebrating right next to him in the locker room. Like, that's going to sit with those guys.
Hell yeah, it is.
Bob, would you set the trap up like at the entrance when they came walking in?
Oh, they're still
right out to the side. Yeah. And he smells it. Like,
what do you,
he walks over
you put a playbook on the thing or something? Little cheese?
God, this one killed me.
Question: were the
put
Lions,
a pass play on it?
Were the Lions better off on the road this year than at home? All their losses came at home, undefeated on the road.
Yeah,
I mean, part of that's who we played. I mean, we played the Bills at home, and then I mean Tampa, we should have beat them.
Yep.
And then that one, I don't know. We definitely technically don't have a home field advantage. We're better on the road statistically, but
yeah. I mean, they set it up perfectly. The bye, the home field advantage.
Yep.
It's all going to be. I was already making my plans for going to the NFC Championship.
It really felt like the energy had been spent on building that season, and then it just wasn't there for there was nothing left for the playoffs, unfortunately. But
I don't get how Campbell could let this happen. That's what I don't get. I mean, I love Campbell. Don't
you know what
wrong.
Though?
But like after last year, or after leading at halftime in last year against the 49ers. Okay, then you come out the halftime of this and you're going to make a difference. And I don't know, just the same tone throughout the game.
You know, Bob, though, I can almost guarantee you Dan's asking him that same question, because I think this surprised him. Like he said it, like this, the way they practiced, everything looked on point. Whatever happened in that game was something that he was not expecting. Like, he thought they were still doing everything the same way and everything was which just lends more credence to what was the outlier. A bunch of interviews for our coaching our head coordinators. And that's where, like, I don't know. I hate even thinking about it because it's annoying, because it's like, I don't think they did it on purpose, but I do think maybe subconsciously they got a little distracted. And it bled through the whole freaking roster. And I don't know, man.
Hey,
something got off. It was just off. The energy was off. The attention was off. Like, Goff seemed like felt like he was trying to do too much.
Right. They had the Tampa game vibes. It just felt like he was trying to do more than he needed to do.
Well, he did lot more than he needed to in that game. Yeah, you're right. That's, I guess, see what you're saying. Yeah, well, and that felt like it was on Ben. We didn't need to go away from Gibbs. Like, even if we were behind, Gibbs was the best option on offense to get not behind. Like, it just made no sense.
Yep.
But the turnovers also just kept cutting us short, so it's like.
And the other aspect, too, is if you know you have an undermanned defense, you want to, like, try to control the clock. You want to control, like, the time of possession, limit the amount of time your defense is out there.
True.
Just another reason for where it doesn't make sense to get away from the run like we did in this game is more what I'm getting at.
I just think it was a bunch of little things that snowballed. It was a bad day. Whatever little reasons that turn into big reasons, I think, you know, it's like once you're in the duel, once you're in the pocket, like, you know, like you're shooting at each other. Once the shots are fired, there's no taking them back, you know, like, and that's what a game is. That's when, like, you can do, like, the whole season means nothing. Everything else means nothing in those moments. And when those moments break against you, sometimes they just keep going against you, and you don't manage to claw them back, and it's too late. And you only get a short window to claw it back, and they didn't this time. Dan will grow from this.
What do you say to the people that think Jared Goff is not the answer quarterback?
I think they're just hurt a lot right now.
I heard it on the ticket the following
day. What's the alternative? You got a great running quarterbacks.
People
like
are
Josh
saying
Allen and
be in there because he can run.
Yeah, Josh Allen's a great running quarterback. He didn't win it.
They didn't even trust him to be the backup in
Lamar
the
Jackson.
Yeah, also the great almighty Jaden Daniels wiped out in the next round. Like, I mean, like, it's like we act like he was the difference in that game.
He's a
he
rookie
wasn't,
that went to the NFC Championship. I think it's pretty
actually,
good.
He played pretty good in that game, too.
Look, he had a great rookie season. I'm not taking that away from him. He's a terrific player with immense talent. I'm not denying any of that. But, like, everyone acted like he was the difference in that game. And, I mean, he played his part well, but it was the Lions playing like shit that was the difference in that game.
Who's everybody saying that?
Oh, God, that was all the talk. Jaden Daniels. That was all the talk. It was the only focus after the damn game.
That was a big – I don't think they said that he, like, single-handedly stopped the
line. Basically, that was the talk.
Was that often you got a rookie quarterback in the
– all the people were saying
it. Everybody said it.
But won't it be cool, like, if next year – like, the Lions this year, they scored the most amount of touchdowns in the league or whatever, and they – like, the fourth most in NFL history, fourth most amount of points in NFL history, the most on the Lions. If next year they like they find out Ben Johnson was holding him back, like they just explode.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, Bob,
the offense is
like,
unleashed.
Well, if you want to get into it now, so
we do
got to
get into it now.
Ben Johnson leaves. With you, Bob. Ben Morton, he was a senior assistant with
John
the Lions.
Morton.
Then he went to the Broncos with Sean Payton. Now he's back.
Johnny Morton.
Oh, Johnny. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. My notes are wrong.
Same name as the famous receiver, but
right.
Not the famous receiver.
Yeah, not to be confused with. He's white, for starters. But John Morton, who I guess had a bigger influence on this offense than we realized when he was here.
2022.
Dan Campbell gives him some credit for turning around the offense, and Jared Goff specifically. So that, I mean, there's something there, but to go outside because there were some obvious candidates like Hank Fraley, like Tanner Engstrand, our passing game coordinator. But they go to John Morton.
Hey, side note, Z. Before you go into John Morton, do you guys ever get confused if it's Frank Haley or Hank Fraley?
No.
Nope.
Okay, that's just me. All right, go on.
But yeah, I mean, they've known each other since in the Saints days. He was Jets offensive coordinator for one season. He got let go. I don't know if that
for not running enough
coordinators' fault.
Allegedly, it was because he didn't run enough. That was what I've heard of, like, multiple different sources. But it was like career years for all the bad players that he had, like Josh McCown and Bilal something.
So, I mean, do you guys have faith in Dan Campbell's side? I mean, this is the...
Yes, of course.
We had that continuity this past year, and now this is a true test of the Dan Campbell head coaching, you know, control of this team, and the ability to keep finding new talent when it goes out the building. Success leads itself to this, so...
Yeah.
No, I'm a Kool-Aid
John
drinker,
Gruden
guys.
Was ecstatic that we got Johnny Morton.
Was he?
Yeah, Sean nice. Payton's been.
Oh, that's cool.
Sean Payton's been singing his praises too.
You know,
those are good.
The thing I like about it is like, because like I do feel like Ben had as good as he ran this offense. I didn't always feel like he was perfect. Like I felt like he had some questionable plays calls at times. Like I don't know. Like I'm not taking anything away from, he was fantastic. Like I don't want to like downplay it like that. But like, he's not the end all be all. But also. John Morton just got handed not the keys to a Ferrari, but like the keys to the freaking Batmobile, man. This offense is so damn stacked and good. Like the weapons he has at his disposal between anyone like who's about to inherit Gibbs and J-Mo and St. Brown and Laporta and DeMont, like with Goff feeding him that offensive line. It's just like, oh my God. Like, I don't like, he's got to be just losing his mind. Like, I wouldn't be able to sleep if I was him right now. I'd be drawing plays for those guys like every night. Like, I mean, it's such a stacked, explosive offense that, like, I'm excited to see what new eyes will do with it.
Yeah,
it's got eyes. Minority Report reference where they took his eyes out and then they transplanted new eyes into his head.
It is now.
Okay. Tom Cruise, remember that?
Right, yeah, to beat the scanners.
Running back coach Sky Montgomery looks like he's staying as of now, at least. So that's a good keep because some people have to get passed over for Austin Carter, look elsewhere to where they might be able to get promoted. So interesting there. Antoine Randle L, he goes to the Bears. He's from Illinois, so that makes a little more sense, at least for him. Chicagoland area, as a matter of fact.
I don't fault assistants at that level too much. Like, Ben could have written his like ticket wherever he wanted, kind of. But like, if you're a backup, like if you're like a position coach, you take your shot wherever.
Hey,
like, if you get a good offer.
That Campbell was talking with these guys a little too much. Like Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, these guys are the best. They deserve a shot. I mean, these guys have done a job. You know, he's just talking about like they're the greatest thing since, you know.
A lot of head coaches do that.
Slight spread. Maybe he's trying to get rid of them.
I
think about it.
Maybe he was trying to get 2 third round draft picks.
Let me say this too.
Seriously.
Everybody thinks like Ben Johnson's offense. It's actually Dan Campbell's offense. I think he has more influence on this offense than people realize.
I'd also say it's Jared Goff's offense, too, that's another thing to remember.
Well, yes, but we also saw, like, once Anthony Lynn got fired and Dan Campbell started play calling
first
season.
Anthony Lynn.
That it changed.
Lynn, yeah.
It's really Lynn's offense that we kind of expanded on.
But Dan Campbell has a lot more say in this offense than I think people realize because he's the head coach. He's not the one actually calling in the plays. But as far as, like, game planning on the offensive side of the ball, things of that nature, Dan Campbell has a bigger influence than I think people realize. So losing Ben Johnson, it sucks. But I think it's not as bad of a loss as people realize.
I'm not.
I actually think Aaron Glenn is the better head coaching.
Agree.
Candidate of the two, even if he's not the better coordinator, quote unquote. He's more of a culture guy.
I agree.
I want to reemphasize though Jared Goff's offense because that is one of the huge advantages of why like there's not a whole lot to be worried about. Like Jared Goff and Dan Campbell both wanted John Morton, and it's Jared Goff's offense. He runs that damn thing. And like just like Brady, how many coordinators did Brady go through? But it was his offense, or like Manning. Like that's how it's going to be in a lot of ways. Goff is the guy now, and it's going to build on him and what he likes to do, just like him and Ben set up this year. Like these guys are – it's going to be Goff's offense. He's here before John Morton. He's the guy. So like
– yeah.
I love that continuity. Like to me, that makes me confident. And so getting new eyes and new minds to help with the creativity and some of the play calling, I think that's great because Goff is the constant. And so, and Dan Campbell.
Hey, Z, you talk about how they react if we replace these guys. I think Dan Campbell's in that elite tier of coaches. Mm-hmm. I know it's like Andy Reid, like earlier in his career, he was winning all the time, but he could never win the Super Bowl or whatever. And he finally got to that. But I think Campbell's in that early stage. He's going to have excellent teams no matter what. Coordinators bop around and they change and everything, but the teams are going to still be good. So I think you can see if you get that symbiotic thing with Holmes and Campbell – this thing's going to run for a long time.
I agree
time.
With you, Bob. That's a really good observation. But I also
want
to add to that. I think sometimes, you know,
Sheila,
just having new blood, just new people looking at these things, giving a new – I mean, nothing's going to change that much. But now you bring some new blood in here, new eyes, what they can do with it and tweak it a little more. I think it's going to be even better for this team next year. I really do.
You ever notice, like – a lot of teams have really good plays and explosive plays. So like, and we're not the only ones that draw them up. Like a lot of, like sometimes I'm like we have J-Mo, but then I'll watch like some other random guy who's fast in the NFL get like some like 70-yard touchdown. Like, and I'm like, oh, so I mean, like any a lot, we're not the only ones. There's not only one way to skin that cat. And with the weapons we have, man.
I think J-Mo too, speaking of him, he really stepped up this year. He got his 1,000 yards and, you know, he's running all the routes. He's blocking. He's doing everything. But I think Johnny Morton's got to exploit him a little more. I think he's got the next level. It's going to happen next year. You know, it should.
I'm with you, Bob. I'd be studying how people deploy Tyreek Hill and like Miami and the Chiefs and how the Patriots used Randy Moss when they had him, because I think he has similar type of like vertical threat ability. And like when you had those two together, like, I don't know, I like, we don't see a lot of traditional just him running nines, you know. I like a lot of times, like, that was the one thing about Ben, like, did we, a lot of our stuff looked very creative, but also I didn't see a lot of like the just basic stuff sometimes, like, you know, like there's very like traditional ways of going deep and stuff. Like, we saw a little bit of that on like the deep post in the Bears game, but I don't remember Goff hitting J-Mo for a deep nine on the down the sideline, you know, like,
yeah,
maybe that's more by design, I don't know. But my point is, like, there's just so many ways, and I'm excited to see what they, how they approach it with this, because I just think the talent's gonna make it good regardless.
The one guy I'm really glad that we're keeping is Hank Fraley. I thought there was a chance that he'd go to the Bears.
Well, I'm pretty sure
I think
he's
the Lions ponied
up
a little extra dough for him. And he's now the run game coordinator as well. But, I mean, the offensive linemen were saying they were like, going to sabotage him.
Well, when Ragnos,
Sewell said that, he wasn't going to let him leave.
Ragnos started crying.
And his wife was so excited to stay in Detroit another year. She broke the news on her Instagram. Yeah. She's like, another year. She's like, we're not leaving.
Yeah. What'd she say? Like, y'all really thought we were gonna go to Chicago or something like that?
Oh yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh no,
that's a great, awesome. Great. What a great. That's like an example of like a SO like, or significant other like wife actually doing like a good job on social media. like that's a good post, because honestly, it played off the whole Ben situation perfectly.
Yeah, and he's the run game coordinator now, by title. So
yeah. I mean, that's exciting.
But again, it's Dan Campbell and his main goals in picking a coordinator is keep the language the same, especially when it's a Sean Payton-esque offense. I don't know if you've ever heard these play calls come in. They're like paragraphs.
Yeah.
Some of these play calls are like paragraphs, man. It's crazy.
Is Ben going to be sitting over there with like one of those like anabolic microphones or whatever, the distance ones, like listening to our plays? Because he knows them all. I don't know how you keep the language when you lose your offensive coordinator.
Remember that picture what Gibbs put on Instagram or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the play calls. They'd change them up. So I'm sure.
I mean, the concepts will stay the same, but I don't know how you leave the language the same, because he's fluent in it. So
it's like, you don't hear it, you're not listening in on it.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
Parabolic microphones.
Pretty sure it's illegal.
They should. Well, Amon Ross speaks German.
Ben looks like Gollum now. So
learn German.
That's what they should do.
And then they could do the calls in German.
Oh God.
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, obviously Aaron Glenn, he's going for the
American team, Bob.
I forgot to mention Tanner Engstrand is interviewing for the offensive coordinator position with the Jets. Right. And Aaron Glenn.
Oh man,
that'd be a tough loss. Apparently, John Morton is the one that like helped grow his career. and taught him a lot of what he knows. So maybe it's not as big of a loss.
He was actually who I thought was going to get the job.
I thought
would have been
too.
My bet.
Same. I thought so too.
Ooh.
But anyway, so Aaron Glenn out. Kelvin Shepard is now the defensive coordinator. Yeah.
Shep, baby. Yeah. I love this.
Well deserved.
Love this.
Well deserved.
He's a stud. Like, every time he talks, I find him captivating. Like, that dude's just awesome. And like the way he talks about his players, the way he loves the team, like, I don't know. I love that guy. I'm excited. I'm excited that he's the OC or DC, and he was groomed by Glenn. Like, so Glenn got him ready for this, and he's gonna bring his own flavor now. Like,
I hope he has the leadership of Glenn, but a slightly better coordinator than Glenn at the same time.
I don't know. I think he's pretty good in front of a room, from what I hear.
Yeah. And,
What a meteoric rise for that guy's career, man.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, yeah. This is a big jump for his age.
Climbing up, man.
And he hasn't had to cut his hair at all yet.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going to cut it, and Campbell's like, don't cut it, man.
Right.
I want you to be you.
Hey,
yeah.
I saw a thing recently where Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, was talking about his time with the Patriots. And it's just an interesting note that Belichick, like, suppressed all that personality. He's like, you're just one other receiver. Like, he was not Ocho Cinco. He wasn't special. He was no, like, he was a very, like, tyrannical coach, like, very much just like, get in line and, like, this is how it's done. And Dan Campbell, I don't know, I feel like he's like a benevolent dictator. Like, he's like that, like, he is like the guy, it's his law, but, like, he, like, cares about his guys and wants them to be the best versions of themselves, and, like, he bolsters who they truly are. To me, that's just powerful. And I think, obviously, you know, you can talk to the outcomes of Belichick's way of doing things, but I think we're going to see a golden age of coaching and dominance and a new dynasty. It's going to be like the United States of America of football teams, the Detroit Lions under Dan Campbell. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. And part of the reason they could do that is the type of players, they have a very specific type of player they bring in. These guys are all dogs, man. These guys will all do anything that they have to do out there.
Exactly.
So these fringe guys, they have that in them. You know, they.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll play up.
Yeah. Right. Even like a Pat O'Connor, like, celebration. We missed him in this game too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Guys like that. I mean, really thin. Really thin.
Yeah, I hope he's back quick, next year.
Sidebar, J-Mo's celebration on that reverse. Hilarious. He's such a dork. I love that kid, but he's such a goofball. Like, he's just like, what are you doing, J-Mo? Like, not Saturday night with your, like, girl, what is going on? Like, I love though that Gibbs and Amon-Ra are, like, tackling him as he's celebrating. Like, what are you doing, man? He's just so silly. But, man, I thought of it because I'm like, he's still a dog. Like, he might be a goofball, but he's absolutely that mental makeup you just talked about that Brad goes for.
Definitely. Just to get to rest, Terrell Williams, our defensive line coach, he's going to be the defense coordinator for the Patriots now. He was defense line coach with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. So that makes sense. We get Casey Rogers, though, the D-line coach from the Buccaneers. That's a solid D-line. They've been top three against the rush the past 5 years. So that excites me. I do not mind that hire. They were familiar with Dan Campbell and him. Had time in Miami together.
Do you think Hutch is, like, part of that, though? Like we just got, like, arguably the best defensive line coach this year, and then now we're replacing him with arguably a competitive one, like, on a similar level. Like, who wouldn't want to come here and see what they can get Hutch and, like, a Lee McNeil to do? I don't know. Like I'd be excited to coach those guys. Man, like,
oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? And hopefully we keep adding to it, too, this offseason. If only had time with who's
Levi
the guy?
And Pass.
No, the guy that got cut this year, the rookie from last year, 8 sacks.
Oh,
I've already forgotten his name.
James Houston?
Thank you. They've only had time with James Houston.
Yeah. Well, that shows how far he fell. Like, yeah, he really they still could have used him. You know, they lost other guys and they still didn't bring him back.
Yeah,
that injury must have really just taken away what he made him special. It's a shame.
You know, another notable, too, change. So, obviously, Calvin Shepard gets promoted, but then Sean Dion Hamilton is promoted to linebacker coach, 29 years old. Not too bad. Not too bad for a 29-year-old already moving up to linebacker coach.
Yeah. He was on the team, wasn't he, at one point?
Yes, he was on our practice squad and such, played in a few games here and there.
That's good for him, man.
Well, they said he got into coaching because, like, during one of the practices, the coaching staff, like, made the players be the coaches for a practice or two, and then the Lions, based on how he was during those practices, being like a fake coach, quote unquote, offered him a assistant job on the staff. And now look at him; he's already a linebacker coach, so doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Dave Phipps still around, so not too many other changes, but a lot of changes nonetheless. So it should be a fun off season ahead of us here.
Oh yeah.
Anything else? Do you guys think, who do you think would be a better head coach of the two, Glenn or Johnson?
Glenn.
I always thought Glenn would be more natural, but I agree. I wouldn't write off Ben Johnson, though. I think him talk compared to Eberflus, it's night and day. I think he's stealing a lot of Campbell. But
I think he fits perfectly next to, like, LaFleur and O'Connell. He's like that same kind of, like, I'm like, hey. you know? Like, it's like you're not intimidated by him. It's like you put Dan Campbell next to him and you're like, who do you want? Obvious, Dan Campbell.
Well,
he
yeah.
looks like a little bitch.
I think any coach would like, next to Dan Campbell.
Well, actually, that was one thing I did note. Like, Dan Quinn was, like, one of the few guys that actually, like, what? Sat on the other sideline that I didn't think looked like a bitch. And he didn't complain like a bitch either. So it was like, but I don't know. Ben just reminds me of those other two, like the young brainiac type. I
did like Ben's comment where he's like, part of the reason he wanted to stay in the division was to beat LaFleur twice a year.
Yeah. Did he say that?
He called him out personally. He said LaFleur.
Yeah.
That's good because I don't like that guy either.
That's pretty good.
I only said that because he's like the Bears head coach and
yeah, I'm sure. But playing honestly, the Bears crowd, but still, it's pretty funny.
All in all, I love that Ben's over there in a way because it creates an awesome like nemesis and like a perfect like person to hate in the division. And, yeah. You know, it fits the golden era of NFC North I've envisioned where like the NFC North is really good, but the Lions just dominate it with an iron grip. I love it.
Yeah. It's a thin line between love and hate, gents. And, yeah. Love has turned to hate in an instant.
Maybe next year all four NFC North teams will make the playoffs. Is that possible? Is that a thing?
Sure. Who knows?
It is possible. It just sucks. Right now my feelings are not going away. It feels like we watched this whole season and it went for nothing in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have the back-to-back North crowns. But like
it. Hey, you know, I mean, just want to say I'm over it already. And
yeah, I've been
this
over
season,
for a while.
You said, Z, which really bothered me, that you said it's 4 months that you wasted your life. It was a brilliant 4 months.
That's how I feel.
It was
okay,
a brilliant 4 months. It was some of the best football I've ever witnessed, and especially by our team. It was fantastic. Yeah, we didn't win the Super Bowl and all that stuff, but goddamn, next year we're going to.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind.
UJ, I get what you're saying. And I'll probably get there, but I'm with Z. I'm still hurt, man. Yeah. I get knocked down and I'm like laying there, you know, like
you got to put it behind you, man. I guarantee you those players will put it behind
you.
I don't want to
lose this feeling. I want it to burn inside me and carry
oh my God,
podcast
Z.
forward oh, even further Lordy, than Lordy, ever Lordy. Before.
See, but you're going to give yourself more gray hairs that way. You need to calm down.
My wife was wondering, you know, if we were going to play taps, you know, for the Lions, you know, for this season. But we do have to kind of put the season behind us. Like I see, you know, put the season like on a
this
boat covered filled with wood, and you push it off, and then we stand there with flaming arrows.
Oh.
And
that's not a bad idea.
The thing up.
You can put the rat on there.
Put the rat.
No,
the rat would jump
off
the
sinking
gun.
Ship. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Riding away on the back of a
that's
bear.
A perfect
like
image,
a bitch.
Bob. I love it.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll get there, UJ. But I think a lot of fellow fans that I've talked to they're like the playoffs are kind of empty now. The next round.
I agree with. I don't give a shit about the Super Bowl at all. It's like
1,000,000%.
But as far as
like
I was telling after the Lions lost, I was telling people I wanted the Chiefs and the Eagles because nobody wants that and nobody should be happy.
And there you go. I'm not happy.
I kind of hope the Chiefs win so we can break their dynasty streak.
Well, I was hoping we would end it in the Super Bowl. But,
well, that's what I'm saying. If they win, we still can. Yeah. But, you know, I will say it was interesting this year. Because last year, what we achieved was kind of beyond expectations, right? Like, as Kool-Aid drinkers, we have something nearing expectation with our, optimistic look on things. But, we overachieved by all things last year. This year we underachieved, and being really good and losing has a different kind of pain to it. Like that expectation, like it definitely hurt more this year. Like when we lost last year, I had this sort of it was like what an amazing season that was. It was the best season I'd ever seen in my life to that point.
I felt that too. This one hurt more. I don't know.
It hurt.
A lot of people said last year because we would have been the Super Bowl, but we're that close. But I don't know. This one I just had such high expectations for this team, and then it just ends suddenly.
Yeah, in
well,
ugly
in the last release,
there
was like some like satisfaction, like it was our first playoff win in 30 years. Like,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
like in that one, this one just hurt more. But now it's like okay. I mean, it hurt like hell. Like I'm not gonna lie, it took me a minute, but I'm over it. It's because like this team it's just like so different. Like, this isn't like getting drummed out in the first round of the playoffs with Stafford because we went ass backwards into a wild card spot, you know? Like, this is like we got something brewing and like seriously brewing here still. Like, we were the best team in football this year for much of the season. And like, by all indications, by everything they're doing, by everything that's been set in place, that trajectory is just going to keep going up. And we did it despite ridiculous attrition on defense. Like, just ridiculous. Look at that IR list. It would be starting defense on people's teams. Like, it's brutal. Like, what we overcame, like, it was amazing to watch this team pull together all season. And the fact that it just kind of died in the playoffs sucks. But you know what? This ain't the same old Lions, despite some weak-willed, weak-minded people saying that. They're hurt. I'll forgive them. But, like, this ain't the same old Lions. This is the new Lions. They're the top dog, and they just learned what it's like to get a one seed and take the best shot from some, you know, devil-may-care newcomer. But that's fine, because they're going to take their lumps. They're going to learn. It's the hardening, like UJ said. And next year, I'm like almost sad for the teams they're going to face right now. Like, there's going to be some blood.
It's like any great athlete, guys, short memory, you know, just happened, file it away, remember it, and then go on to the next one. So that's what we're doing right now. That's the way I'm looking at it. So I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah. Well, if you are wondering, the Lions home games next year, the division opponents, Dallas, the Giants, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay. Then on the road, they have Washington, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Rams. Wow, what a road schedule.
See, all I heard was corpses.
That is unbelievable road schedule.
We're just facing a bunch of dead people. That's all I heard.
Either way, it makes the Lions a really good candidate to be to start off the year on and like that Thursday night opener because they're going against the Eagles and Chiefs on the road.
Yeah. Oh, so nice.
Either way, they'll play the Super Bowl champ at their place. So
Bring it on, man. I love it. Those top teams, man, they doesn't matter what the schedule is.
We're one
of those guys now.
Right, exactly.
And that's like the thing, like there was something about, you know, you do realize there was like some weird precedent working against us in this too. A 15 win team has like won, I think, except for like maybe one or like the Super Bowl anyway. Like 15 is like a weird threshold that's a lot of teams have achieved and then gone on to fail.
Like they haven't even been to the Super Bowl or?
No, like I think like most the only 15 win team that's won the Super Bowl was like the 85 Bears, I think. Something like that. Anyway, there was some weird precedent like behind this. I'd have to look it up again, but it was having 15 wins. There was obvious pressure because of all the winning we did.
All right, you do a little more research and get back to us on the next episode about 15.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
All right. Well, I guess really quick before we sign off, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl, Chiefs or Eagles out of the two? Or who's going to win? Say who's going to win, rather.
Chiefs are going to win.
Chiefs.
I think the Eagles win.
I'm not rooting for anyone.
I want the Chiefs to win because I want to break the dynasty with the Lions when we get there. You know, that's another thing. It did feel, as soon as Hutch went down, maybe this season was already in a way broken because it felt so weird, the thought of him not being there for our first Super Bowl win. And at that point, we did have to kind of like pull together a certain level of like delusional, like just like dedication to the next man up ideology.
if you hate Giants fans, the Eagles winning would be amazing.
That's a good point.
They give up Saquon, and then he goes and wins the Super Bowl right away.
Gets the MVP.
Well, I'll tell you, I hate Eagles fans, Bob. Me and you went to a game. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're the worst.
Oh, yeah. They're the worst.
They're
the worst.
Terrible. The worst.
That's what makes me not want to root for them in the game.
Yeah.
The fans are the worst.
That's right. Let it be the Chiefs, and we'll knock the Chiefs off next year.
Yeah. Slay, I would have. Slay's the only. I like Saquon. I like Slay, but beyond that, I couldn't.
But again, what do the Chiefs do? And like the good teams do in the playoffs, they don't turn the damn ball over. They don't do it. Patrick Mahomes has thrown one interception in 4 years in the playoffs. So,
and the Lions have to learn to flop like Kelsey and Mahomes do too for the refs.
Here's one thing.
Yeah. Sell those calls a little bit.
All right.
Do you guys? One thing, like that golf thing we said earlier. We went back on like golf. Why does this game undo everything he did? He's been to a Super Bowl. Why suddenly he can't get us there even? I'm sorry.
Well, we all know.
The amount of The amount of mental gymnastics people do when they're hurt and angry is amazing.
Yep. Well, it's the NFL. People love to overreact immediately.
That's for sure.
So, All right. Well, that's, I think it's going to wrap it up for us here.
What an amazing season it was,
tough
boys.
Episode, but we got through it.
Yeah. Was it tough? I had fun.
It's tough to talk about this loss for me, at least.
Z, you need to like go on like a retreat or something, like find some Zen, brother.
I don't know if you guys
like,
got.
You're letting
the
this like
sentiment.
Get way too into you.
Because a lot of our circles are like we're the only Lions fans in some respects that our other friends know. And yeah, such. But yeah. Like, I got a lot of people texting me like a relative died after this game.
Oh, sorry.
Like wellness check on you, Z. Everything okay over there, etc.
Well, the way you're acting, that's appropriate.
I know, and I shouldn't go watch the rest of the game, but I just want to know where we went wrong.
Go to church, pray, let it go.
Anyways,
okay.
All right. Next year, well, baby. We'll wrap it up here. If you subscribe to us on YouTube at DTBK_Lions, or type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, subscribe to us. It should hopefully be up there for you to watch, and you can see Bob's bobblehead. Who is that there, Bob?
Exclusive on YouTube.
Oh, Amon-Ra. Okay. Yeah. Oh, if it looks like Amon-Ra. That's too much hair. Too much hair.
Yeah,
on the top
not
of
the
head.
Best.
Should do it blue.
Yeah, and his head should be upside down.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to have to do like a memoriam of this season, I think, next. Like just all the positives, because there's so much damn good stuff to talk about this year. Like, what an amazing year this was. Like, yeah. It's, I know it ended on like a sour note. We didn't get the Super Bowl, but like, we were 15-2, boys. Like, it was awesome. We only lost two games. Or, well, three. Okay, fine. Three, but whatever. Like, this team was freaking awesome. There was some of the best Lions football I've seen in my life. Like, oh, God, what an amazing season. And, you know, it wasn't the ultimate goal, but, like, you can't throw the baby out of the bathwater. This was a hell of a season.
You just don't want to turn into the Packers and be, like, regular season great.
Yeah.
And
no, we're not. That's not our fate, baby.
We don't
want to
be the
Lions,
Bills.
Dan Campbell
Bills.
Won't let that happen. Yeah, the Bills are, like, the most edge team in history. God bless them. We can't be that.
That is tough. That
like, is tough. That's just brutal. Their fate, like, if Josh Allen never gets there and it's, like, because of Mahomes, that's going to be, like, the most painful.
But they also have
like,
the history of losing four straight Super Bowls, which is just remarkable.
That's right.
So,
yeah. Those are some great teams, too.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Let's
not think about the dark thoughts, guys. Move on. I was trying to be positive.
Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Thanks to FanSided for their support of the podcast. But then really, I mean, for this, we'll probably take a little break here in the next few weeks. I know we got this a week later. A lot of people clamor for us to get this one out. So
I got a text during this podcast. When's the next one?
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, we're recording it right now.
But, you know, great job. We, of course, have to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
For crushing it every single week throughout this entire season. Best podcast producer out there.
He ain't no rat.
Do you have any questions about his producing or anything like that?
He's no rat. He's not hopping to a Bears podcast.
Hell no.
Sticking around.
Hey, fire him AC. Anyway. You Kid J is great, but I want to thank you guys, you know, for getting on here throughout this season. You guys, this was awesome. I love doing this with you. And I appreciate you.
Why is the season over? We should be talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But yeah, I just want to thank you guys.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Great season.
It was a lot of fun. But... A lot of fun.
Oh, of course. That's why we do it. We do it.
We do it. I thought we did it for the kids.
Yeah. And it's therapeutic.
The money.
All the money. My $10.
Oh, yeah. Loads of money.
$10 that we get to pay for the software.
Well, Zach, you're making your kids into Lions fans, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
You hate your kids that much.
Remember, the anxiety you feel will transfer. So if you
I know. My son, I mean, as you know, I wasn't on the last couple podcasts because my son was born early. And I thought he was born early to like rush out and see the Lions playoff game in time, which he did. And I was like, oh boy, you should have just stayed in there a little longer, buddy.
So he's only known the Lions as losing.
Yes, he's 0-1 in his
Where your other child is only going.
Wait, wait, what's his name?
Ben. Ben.
Oh, what? Coincidence? What? Oh, my God.
Seemed like a good idea. Let's
She's a future trainer as offense coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Oh, yeah.
You got to call him by his middle name now.
Well, his middle name is Jay, so.
Ben Aaron.
Jay it is.
Same initials, yeah. BJ.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, Jay it is.
Yep, yep. Yeah, little Z though. At least my firstborn son. He's much more successful.
Did he console you afterward?
In his life.
How did he feel about the loss?
Devastated, devastated. He couldn't wake up
until he got his cookie.
He fell asleep at halftime. Didn't wake up the rest of the night.
See, take a lesson from your kid. You know,
he knew it was over.
Be chill.
Yeah. He had a Jared Goff jersey that his grandma got him, and he was trying to like rip it off and burn it. I was like, no, it's okay.
Did you guys answer the question?
What's that?
Is Goff going to get us there? I answered it. Did you guys answer it?
Yes, he's going to get us there.
Yeah, he's going to get us
there. We don't have a choice.
Okay. Yeah. What was that, Z? What was that? We don't have a choice.
Oh, it's under contract, right?
Well, you know what? Apply that to your whole fandom because you have no choice about what they do, so you can really forget about all of it.
He will get us there. He will get us there.
I love Goff, and he's been to a Super Bowl, so that's proof that he can get
there. He did not do good in that Super Bowl, but yes, he did get there.
But he got there.
All right. We will wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really, of course, mostly appreciate
we
our
love you,
listeners
fans.
Sticking it with us through this entire season.
If you're here now, you're the best, for real.
We know, I'm sure you hurt along with us, but that's okay. Like Rud Dog, Bob, and UJ said, there are brighter days ahead for this organization, and we can't wait to keep talking about it with you. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about this season in later episodes. It might be a couple weeks or a few weeks before we're back on. We'll probably take a little break for the podcast. Yeah. Enjoy the Super Bowl, I guess.
If you can.
Yeah, or go golfing or something.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, spend some time with your family. That you haven't over the past however many
drill
days.
Hole through your floor.
You know what I did, guys? I bought a dirt bike.
What? Hell yeah.
Oh, you did.
You did?
Talking. Yeah.
I knew you were talking about it. That's awesome.
I did. So I'm going to go racing. Pick me so ride. What you guys awesome. Are going to do. So do whatever.
Put some videos of it on our Instagram, UJ.
I'm jealous.
Show off the fans.
I will.
Show off the fans.
Yeah.
All right.
See UJ's dirt guys. Bike.
Well, we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
For the last time this 2024-2025 season, last but not least, as always,
go.
Charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.